Well, I'm about ready to record. I want to ask for your prayers. I have a message that has just been so heavy on my heart. Continue throughout the service to pray. Now, you all can pray and listen at the same time. I know you can. Pray as the service continues, as God's word is preached. I want you to pray that that it'll have its effect in the hearts of people that are not saved. You know, we can't do anything without the Lord. And preaching is made effective through the Holy Spirit. You know, God empowers His Word, and I want you to pray, please, to that end. I'm going to read again, as I did last week. I'm going to take a reading again today from the sixth chapter of Revelation. Last week, I spoke about the opening of the first seal. I told you what I believed that was talking about. You know, some may agree, some may disagree, but I want to speak today about the opening of the sixth seal. And I want to call your attention to Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And I'll conclude my reading there, having finished reading through that sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. I want to speak to you today about the coming of the Lord. I believe that this opening of this sixth seal and the things that took place with the opening of this sixth seal, I believe we're talking about what's yet to come to this world. The end of time, when God declares that time will be no more and brings this world to an end. And I can't remember who it was. My short-term memory is getting pretty bad. And I can't remember who it was, but it was just someone recently I was talking to, and they were telling me that they had heard someone, they'd been talking to someone, or they had heard someone make the statement that he did not believe, he just believed that this is nonsense, that He did not believe that this world would ever end. Well, he's wrong. And God's word, and I'm going to share hopefully quite a bit of scripture with you today, but God's word teaches us in passage after passage, in place after place, that this world that we are presently living in is not an eternal world. It's not. It's not going to be here forever. And we read in the very beginning of the scriptures, we read the words, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there was something that God did at that time. There was something that he made that did not exist before that, and that was time itself. In the very beginning of time, in the dawning of time, God created the heavens and the earth. And we find as we go throughout the scriptures, as I said a moment ago, we find that time is something that has an end to it. Now, eternity does not. Eternity is continual, and it just goes on and on and on and on. But time does and will come to an end. And so I want you to think with me today, and I want to beg you today, if you're here and you're lost, to consider the truth of God's word to what it tells us and teaches us about what is going to happen to this present world that you're living in, and what is going to happen to your earthly life that you're living. There's a great change that's coming for every one of us. We're all living now, those of us that are still living, we're living in time. But just as many others already have, there's going to come the time for each one of us when we are going to leave time and we're going to go into eternity. And I assure you that every person that ever has lived or ever will live is an eternal being. We are going to continue. We have an eternal existence. That's the way that we were made. There's part of us, we realize that the body that we have, we realize that as the scriptures teach us, that it's going back to the dust from where it was taken. But that inner man, that spirit that's within us is going to live on forever and forever. And you need to be prepared for your exit from time and your entrance into eternity. You need to be prepared. And I hope you know today that that's the most important thing that you can ever do. I also want to share some scripture in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And I want to read beginning with verse 36. Jesus here was talking about the end of time. He was talking about the end of the world. And he said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I want you again, if you're here today and you have not been saved, I want you to take note of what Jesus said there. Be ye ready. Be ready. Because we do not know when he's going to appear. We do not know when he's going to come. Now, oftentimes, people look at that just the opposite of what they should. Oftentimes, people say, well, what's the urgency? We don't know that he's coming back today. What's the urgency? But Jesus said just the opposite. He said, because that you don't know when he's coming back, there is an urgency. And so I hope today that you will think about that and that you will realize if you're here today and lost that you need to make ready for what is coming. And you need to make ready for who is coming. Now I appreciate the song that Brother Ernest started out with today when he was leading the song about the Lord and singing that the next time he comes. Listen, the next time that Jesus comes, there's going to be some things that are going to be very different than when he came the first time. Jesus has been here. He came here into this world and he lived here on earth for 30 some years. And when he came here with a very distinct purpose. He came here on a mission. He came here being sent by God to build his church, to establish his church here on the world. And he came here to give his life a ransom for our sins. And so in order to do that, Jesus came here, and as Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, in order to be able to do what he did, he had to humble himself, or he had to empty himself in order to be able to die. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took up on him, as the Bible teaches us, he took up on himself the likeness of men, and he came here as a man, and he humbled himself, and there were things that Jesus had to empty himself of. There were things that he had to lay aside in order to be able to come here and pay the ransom for our sins. But listen, he's not going to ever come like that again. There were people that were here, if you think about it, if you think about all of the people that have ever lived in the world and those that are living in the world presently, and those who are yet to be born into the world, if you think about all of the people that have occupied time and lived here in this world in comparison to those that were actually here and alive when Jesus was here on earth, there were really very few in comparison that saw Jesus while he was here. Now, there was a lot of people that saw him, but when you compare the two, there were really very few compared to all of the people throughout time that actually saw Jesus while he was here on the earth. But I'm telling you what, when he comes the next time, that's not going to be the case. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of the Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, it's going to be such an event that everybody that has ever lived on the earth will see his coming. Now, that's wonderful for the child of God. I mean, that's a wonderful thing for you and I, because it really doesn't make any difference. Oftentimes we hear people say, well, I think it would be wonderful to be one of those that are alive and remaining when the Lord Jesus comes. But listen, when it comes right down to it, it's really not going to make that much difference, because we're going to see him just the same. If the grave has housed our body for many years, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we are going to see him. There's not going to be anybody that's going to miss it. We will see him at his appearing. Now, those that did see him come to the earth, when he came meek and lowly, when he came here in a humbled state, when he came here and, as the Bible says, took upon himself the form of a servant and made himself of no reputation, those that did see him in that light, those that see him when he comes again, we won't see him like that. He's not going to do that anymore. The song is right, brother. The next time he comes, he won't be coming to die for you and me. The next time he comes, he's not coming to a cross. The next time he comes, he's not coming to be tortured and beaten and crucified. He's coming in all of his glory and all of his majesty. I want to share this verse with you from John chapter 17. You know, Jesus, as I said, he laid aside some things to come here and to take upon him the flesh and die. In John chapter 17, beginning with that chapter, says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as believe, to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Listen, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And so Jesus had laid that down, as I said, in order to come here and die for us, to live as a man and to be the sacrifice and to die for us. He had laid that down. But if you look in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where it speaks about where Jesus spoke about his coming, it says he's coming in his glory and with the holy angels with him. And this world, when we see him coming, we're not going to see the Jesus that came to make the sacrifice. Well, we'll see that Jesus. It'll be the same Jesus, but we won't see him in that light. He's coming. You know, we sing the song, "The King is coming. The King is coming." And certainly he is. Certainly that's true. But sometimes I think, you know, what we probably really ought to be singing is not just that the King is coming, but that the King of Kings is coming. Not just that the Lord is coming, but the Lord of Lords is coming. I'm telling you, friends, the King of Kings is coming. He's coming again, and he's coming with power, and he's coming with glory, and he's coming in the clouds of heaven, and he's going to gather his children up. I'm telling you, from the four winds of the earth, he's going to gather us up. And you know what the Bible tells me? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And let me tell you something today, and if this don't give you gospel bumps, I don't know what will. If this don't stir your heart, I don't know what will. But let me tell you something, for every child of God that's ever lived on the earth, we've got a flight together. We're going to take off together. Those that have died, what Paul was saying there in that epistle to the Thessalonian church, those that have died and those that are living are going to leave together. We're going to leave together. Those that are alive and remaining are not going to precede those who are sleeping. The dead in Christ will rise. I'm telling you, folks, listen, I felt very privileged yesterday. When I was at the association meeting, I heard Brother Elliott preach the doctrinal sermon, and he preached on the doctrine of the resurrection. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God was all over his man as he was preaching that. And by the time he was finished with that, I mean the Lord was in it. And by the time he was finished with that, I thought, Lord have mercy. If there's anybody that could have heard that and not believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead one day, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's going to raise the dead, all of the dead. He raised some when he was here, didn't he? He went, he stood before the tomb of Lazarus. You ever stop and just try to imagine that? Here was this family, like we've seen so many families in our own life. Here was this family that was just broken, brokenhearted. Mary and Martha just brokenhearted because they had lost their brother. And here come Jesus. They thought he was too late. They thought he had got there too late. If you would have been here before, you could have healed him. You could have done something. But now he's already dead, and he's been dead for 4 days, and Jesus just went there. He said, show me where you put him. And he just went there to that tomb, and he just called him by name and said, Lazarus, come forth. And there he come, didn't he? Well, the Bible tells me in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John, in the 28th verse, that the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Listen, I know that this is hard for us to grasp in our carnal mind, but I'm telling you today, I'm going to die with this hope. That no matter how long that my body might lie in the dust, it may be as Job said when he spoke about the skin worms destroying his body. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when I'm going to hear the voice of Jesus, and it's going to be calling me to come forth. And you will too. You will too. The hour is coming when all that are in the graves will hear his voice. Let me tell you what, Jesus has the authority, the power in his voice to speak to the dead. and the dead can hear him, can hear him, and can obey him and will obey him when he says to us to come forth from the grave. The King of Kings. That's how John saw him in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. John said, I saw heaven opened, and he begins to talk about things that the Lord showed him, and he said that he saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He saw him in a vesture dipped in blood, and on his vesture, on his garment, his robe, on his vesture, and on his thigh was a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's who's coming, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming with all authority. He's coming with all power. He's coming, as the Bible says, with the holy angels. And he's going to judge at his coming. Boy, the world don't like that, do they? People are getting to where they don't want anybody to judge them. Well, don't you judge me. I'll tell you what, God's going to judge them. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, he told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, there's people today that won't endure sound doctrine. There's people today that don't want to hear anything about what the Bible says about the coming of the Lord. There's people today that don't want to hear anything about the judgment of the Lord. Paul said when he comes, he's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether they want to hear it or not. We need to preach the word. I want to ask you something today. I want to ask you a serious question today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for his appearing? Are you ready for the Lord to come if he should come right now? Are you ready? Are you ready for that time when the sun becomes as black as sackcloth of hair, when the moon no longer gives her light, when the stars begin to fall from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs? Are you ready for that time that the Apostle Peter wrote about when he said the elements would melt with a fervent heat? Are you ready for that time that Jesus spoke about when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. God was going to destroy the world by a flood because of the wickedness of man. He warned them. He gave them a space of 120 years, and he warned them. He had a preacher of righteousness named Noah that was building the ark and making a way of safety and a way to escape what the flood would bring upon them. God warned them, and what did they do? They went on day after day, living their lives, not paying any attention to anything. They continued on marrying, giving in marriage, and didn't pay any attention to what was being done and how that they were being warned. And the flood came and took them all away. Are you ready? You know, I'm thankful. And I owe it all to God. I owe it all to the Lord. But I'm thankful. If the Lord rolls back the skies right now as a scroll. If the heavens depart as a scroll, blackness covers the earth. The Lord, at His appearing, makes His appearing. I'm ready to go. Isn't that great? I'm ready to go when He comes. And He is coming. You know, the Apostle Peter wrote about the coming of the Lord, and it's interesting that he did the same thing that Jesus did there in the 24th chapter of Matthew. He referenced the flood. And he said the same world by the same word is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the Apostle Peter wrote about it, and he spoke about the scoffers, the mockers. In the last day there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were unto now. Have you ever heard a scoffer in your life? Have you ever heard anybody mock and scoff at somebody talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have. I've heard people that say, that's just nonsense. But listen, the Apostle Peter went on and he said, God is not slack concerning His promise. I'll tell you what, He promised in His word that He would come, and bless your heart, He is going to come. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise of His coming, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward. He's giving time to you that are lost. He is extending time and mercy, but He's not slack concerning the promise of His coming. He will come, but He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But listen to what the Apostle Peter said right after that. He said, but the day of the Lord will come. How will He come? As a thief in the night. Are you going about, let me ask you something. Are you here today lost and in your sins and going about your life from day to day? Are you getting up and going to school every day? Or are you getting up and going to work every day? Are you going about your daily life as if nothing is going to happen? Are you doing the same thing today that those people were doing during the days of Noah when they were being warned of the destruction that was going to come? And they were just, that's what Jesus was saying. They were just about their everyday task and didn't think anything about it until it was upon them and took them all away. And I'm going to tell you something. When the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the rain began to fall from heaven, when that began to happen, Not one of them was able to say, uh-oh, and make it into the ark. Not one of them. I'm telling you, it was too late. It was too late. Those that were prepared, they went into the ark. God shut the door, and when that destruction began to come, it was too late for them to get in. I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, when you see Him in the clouds of heaven, you're not going to get saved. You're going to be like these people that the sixth chapter of Revelation talked about. You won't be repenting and trusting and getting saved. You'll be begging the rocks and the mountains to fall on you and hide you. From the one that is coming. The great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Jesus is not coming again with mercy. He's not coming again, sinner, with grace. He's coming again to gather His own and to separate them from those who are not. and to take his to heaven to be with him forever, and to tell those that are not his, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what? I want to ask you something else. What if you die today? What if you die today? It is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. What if you die today? Now don't tell me you can't die today, because you can. What if you die today? Are you ready? Are you ready to face the Lord? Have you made preparations? Are you saved by his grace? Do you know that it's well with your soul? Will you seek the Lord today? Will you seek him today to be saved? Or will you continue to go on to just dismiss it, you know, just not heed the warning, and just continue in your lost condition? That's what's before you. That's what's before you. What will you do? What will you do? Will you? I encourage you, if you're here today and you know that you're lost, I encourage you to seek the Lord. He's coming, friends. I'll tell you, he's coming. He's coming, and he's coming as the righteous judge, and he won't miss anybody. He won't miss anybody. If you belong to him, if you belong to him, you'll not miss heaven. If you don't, you'll not make it in. Let's sing.